This is episode 137 on October 29th, 2015.
Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Tiny Shutter Podcast, where we talk about iPhone photography and other things. I'm Joseph Ferreira.
I am Matt Hoffman.
And joining us today is Greg McMillan. How's it going, Greg?
Great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. So good. Before we get into what Greg's doing, let me start with you, Matt. How are you doing?
I am absolutely wonderful.
Cool.
I don't think that sounded convincing. No, I'm doing okay. Since last week, unfortunately, I haven't had a whole lot of chance to get out and do any photography, which has kind of been disappointing since I've had the opportunity to do a lot of it lately, but this week didn't really work out. However, I do have finally a tripod mount coming for my
awesome
iPhone 6S Plus. Yeah, so hopefully this weekend I'll get out and maybe play with slow shutter cam and find some reasons to use the new mount. Should be good stuff.
All right, which one did you get?
I went with one that I mentioned last week. It's called ReadyCam.
Mm-hmm.
I really just picked it because I was basically deciding between two different ones, and one was $10 more than the other, and I couldn't really figure out why it was worth $10 more. So I picked the less expensive one.
Okay. Well, that's good. Yeah, I didn't have a chance to do a whole lot of photography outside. It rained all this week. So it was really rough to try to find a good subject or great lighting because it was dark. And so when it's raining and it's kind of gloomy, it's hard to kind of get into the spirit of things. But just today we actually had some sunshine, but I did have a chance to get a couple images of leaves because of our weekly photo challenge. But before we get to that, Greg, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing well.
That's great.
I really appreciate you guys having me on. This is going to be fun.
Yeah, we, we kind of want to break up the monotony of just Matt and I droning on about iPhone photography and actually have some real people come in and join the show. And so Matt said, hey, let's have Greg on. I'm like, cool. Invite him. And so so Matt, I guess, got a hold of you and
I actually drove up to Ontario this past weekend, knocked on his door.
Yes, he did.
So you live in Ontario?
Yes, Ontario, Canada.
Nice. Now tell people who are geographically challenged where in Canada Ontario is.
It is kind of right amongst the Great Lakes. And funny story, if you want to really see where I'm at, take a look at the map of Southern Ontario, tilt it 45 degrees to the left, and you should see an elephant.
What?
You'll see an elephant.
Oh, okay.
The land mass makes an elephant. It kind of looks like an elephant.
So is that close to Michigan?
We are on the east side of Lake Huron. But anyway, if you did that, and if you look at the elephant's butt, that's where you'll see the town I live in. I kid you not.
Oh, that's funny. Nice.
But we're about a little over 2 hours northwest of Toronto.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I have family that live in British Columbia, and so I've only been to Vancouver and in the surrounding areas. I have yet to go to any of the other parts of Canada, but cool. So do you have some good spots to get some awesome images?
Yeah, it's quite diverse around here. There's waterfalls, there's beaches, there's forests, there's almost anything really. I mean, if you travel a couple of hours south, you'll get into some flatland even if that's what you want to shoot. Pretty much anything. We don't have big mountains. There's a little mountain called Blue Mountain. It's about an hour east of here where people go skiing and whatnot.
Okay.
But there's also a nice valley, Beaver Valley it's called. There's Hockley Valley. There's a few valleys around. So it is a pretty diverse landscape.
So does the Pacific Northwest have mostly the mountains?
Oh, I would think so. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have nothing like the Rockies here.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. Yeah, or even the Appalachians or the Adirondacks. That's all, you know, a distance from here.
Oh, cool. So how did you get into iPhone photography?
Well, I used to be a real BlackBerry guy. And then, to be honest, I mean, I was taking pictures with my BlackBerry because I thought, okay, this is really cool. I could take pictures anywhere.
Yeah.
So a friend of mine put a picture of his daughter's dog on Facebook, and I said, oh, did you take that with your Canon? And he said, no, it was this new iPhone he had. He had the iPhone 4.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, it was so clear. You could see the hair, you know, the individual hairs on the dog and whatnot. I was really impressed with the quality compared to what I was getting with my BlackBerry.
Uh-huh.
And I was due for an upgrade. So when the 4S came out, I did the upgrade and got the 4S and really fell in love with the camera in that phone.
Oh, yeah.
Just started shooting anything.
The 4S, I have to say, was, I think, the step up. I mean, the 4 was good. And the 3GS, I was getting some good images with. But I remember seeing the 4S. A friend at work had one. And he showed me the images, and I'm like, oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I got to wait. And I eventually got one, but it's still, right now, an awesome camera. And oh, I sure. still have mine.
Yeah. I still have mine sitting around here, too. Don't use it that much, really. I got the 6S now, and I'm just loving it. I'm on the S cycle of the upgrades because I find the S phones are always a little better than the ones that come out the year before.
Yes.
And it's, you know, it's not everybody can be on that upgrade cycle, of course, but I'm just lucky enough to fall into that.
Yeah, I was on the S cycle until this last one, and I broke it and decided to go with the 6. So I'll probably be waiting on the 7. I won't get the 6S, but cool. And So you got the 6S. What's the biggest thing that you've noticed about that?
I think the clarity. The 12 megapixel camera versus the 8.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, they have what they call deep trench isolation in the pixels, in the sensor. And what that means is the light doesn't interfere with other pixels. The single pixel gathers the light, and it doesn't cross over into the other ones, and it just makes a very, very sharp image. And I'm kind of liking the live photos too.
Cool.
But only when it comes to people or pets or, you know, animate objects. I don't use live photos for scenery and things like that.
Not even for just, you know, leaves fluttering in the breeze?
That would be a good use case. Waterfalls, yeah, I would probably put it on for a waterfall.
Now, let me ask you
this. Just to see the moment.
With the live photos, is it better to stick it on a tripod or handhold?
I don't think it really matters.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's like a little video, so the movement doesn't really matter.
It's 3 seconds, and all it's intended to do is to put you back in the moment. So that you can really remember what was happening when you took that photo. Like I have, my brother had a baby, his wife had a baby about a month or so ago, and we were over to see her. She was, sitting there flopping around like a 1 month-old baby. But it was nice to be able to use the live photo feature so that you could see just what she was doing when I took that photo.
Okay, yeah, I can see
So,
that.
yeah. So that's what I would use the live photo for, and not necessarily for a scenic shot or something static.
Cool. Matt, do you have anything?
No, actually, what I think we should do is move into news, and then we'll come back to Greg.
That sounds good. It helps if I have this up.
News team, assemble!
All right, Matt. So you have a couple things to bring up, and I will go ahead and hand it off to you. Go for it, man.
All right, so I have absolutely no notes, so I'm totally just kind of winging this.
I got notes.
Yeah, but that doesn't help me. So there was just a couple app updates I wanted to mention. A few episodes back, I mentioned how Vivid HDR was just atrocious on my new phone, that it kept crashing and everything. Well, finally today they released version 3.0, and I have to say it's quite the upgrade. Doesn't really change a whole lot with the user interface. The app still looks the same and works the same and the whole nine yards. But this version does support the iPhone 6S and 6S Plus. And one of the new things is now they have a 5-image HDR instead of a 3-image HDR.
Oh, wow.
So that is pretty cool. And I think it only works if you do like the auto mode.
Okay.
If you do the manual mode where you kind of select the light and dark areas manually, then it doesn't do 5 images, but in the auto mode it does. So I tested this out today, and I decided to try to pick a scene or a subject that would really kind of stretch it to the max. So basically I took a picture in the family room of my home, and basically I have like these two stuffed chairs and a table, and they're kind of in front of a window, and there's a lamp on the table. So I turned the lamp on, so you got that bright light. Overall the room is relatively dark, and then the blinds or whatever are open on the window, so you got the window light. So I wanted to see if it would be able to capture detail in the backyard, basically, as well as the lamp and detail in the chairs and everything. And I gotta say, it did a really impressive job.
Cool.
So I think the 5 images is really going to be a godsend, really,
Dave,
for people that like HDR.
yeah, Dave in the chat said, just tried the 5-image for a night shot, and he said it worked well. So,
Very cool. Yeah, and I did notice that it seemed like it took slightly longer for it to take the pictures than like the old version did. But I would, I guess, attribute that to the fact that it's shooting two more photos than previously.
Yeah. When did that come out? Was that yesterday?
That came out today.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So definitely a solid update if anyone's using Vivid HDR, one of my favoritest apps ever. Let's see, what else happened? Everybody knows, if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, that I kind of like VSCOcam. And I've kind of strayed away from it a little bit because there's just so many cool apps and it's hard to kind of be dedicated to it, I guess. But VSCOcam is a great it's a great app for shooting. I think the camera functions are really good, and it's got a lot of like manual functions and stuff. The editing is fantastic in that app, and the filters are just killer. And also, if you want a place to kind of curate all your photos and kind of make it like more of a, I don't know, like a gallery or a portfolio of sorts, then VSCOcam is a really good choice for that. So I guess they kind of felt left out of all the live photos and boomerangs and GIFs and everything. So they just released an app called Disco. So instead of VSCO, which is VSCO, this is DSCO. And it actually doesn't stand for anything. Like, VSCO is Visual Supply Company, I believe is what that stands for. But DISCO doesn't actually stand for anything. I think it was the president of VSCOcam said they felt that the word just kind of fit with the feel of the app.
Okay.
And it's fun to say, too.
So is it just DISCO or VSCOcam? Oh, it says DISCO by VSCO.
Yeah. So basically what it is, it's just a little like GIF or GIF maker, just does like a little 2.5 second GIF or whatever that you can edit then. There's, you know, a bunch of filters available and stuff. You could edit it, and then you could actually save it in two different formats. One of them is MP4, and the other is... I forget. But they save into your... Oh, it's a GIF and a MP4. And those save into your camera roll, and you could share them in other places like, you know, Facebook and stuff like that.
Cool.
So, you know, if you need to have more GIF and short, really short video makers, there's another option for you.
Very cool. All right.
I probably personally won't download it because I don't really care about that stuff.
Well, I didn't download Boomerang. I don't know. I just don't get into some of those apps. I don't see a reason for myself to have them, but I do enjoy seeing some of them because there's a lot of good creative people out there that are using it.
Yeah, definitely. And the boomerangs are kind of funny. Is that what they're calling it? Is that what you would call the little videos in Boomerang? Are they called boomerangs, or am I just making that up?
Well, no, that was Instagram's thing. So maybe it's Instagramming boomerang. You know, now everything is Instagram, you know, generically. Maybe all these are going to be boomerangs generically.
Yeah. Well, I mean, anyway, some of those are just entertaining because of the fact that they move forward and backwards. So they're kind of funny.
Yeah.
but I think, you know, like a lot of these type of things, it's a novelty that'll probably wear off pretty quick.
Yeah.
So that's just my take on it, but I just thought I'd mention it because it is popular right now, and this is just another option.
Yeah. Let's see here. I'm trying to think. I don't know. I didn't see any. I guess 9.1 is out. We mentioned that last week, and my phone keeps prompting me to upgrade. But did you notice any real differences after you upgraded your iOS?
Not really, other than the fact that I have 150 more emojis.
Yeah. Any good ones?
Yeah, actually, there's a lot of good ones.
Oh, cool. All right. I guess, okay, I'm going to do that tonight then. All right. Can I just step
in on that for a sec?
What? Yeah, absolutely.
Joe, did you get a new phone yet?
I got the 6.
Oh, okay. Then this will apply to Matt and anybody that has the 6S or the 6S Plus.
Dang it.
But one thing that they fixed was with the live photos, when you're shooting a live photo, one thing that people got into the habit of doing was putting the phone down before it finished actually recording the photo. And they got on, if they press and hold on the screen to view the live photo, they've got the camera going down to the floor.
Oh,
So what they've done
yes.
is they fix it so that it stops recording if it sees the if it feels the camera going down to the floor.
Yeah, I don't have that problem.
Yeah. I did that a few times, and when I realized the error of my ways, I stopped. I waited till it was actually finished the photo.
Oh yeah. Well, I have to say, and I think Boomerang's going to be the same way. There's going to be, I think people with Boomerang will know that they are recording a video, and I think they can choose the portion of the video that they want to have repeated. But it's a little different when you're taking an image and as a snapshot, but it's recording before and after the snap. And
Yeah, that's what live photo does.
yeah, so I can see why people would automatically put their hands down. They've been programmed very early on
Yeah.
to put their hands down.
Yeah, now that I have a tripod mount coming, I actually think I'll play with the live photos a little bit more.
Yeah.
And that's just 'cause, I mean, like we said earlier, it didn't matter if you had it on a tripod or not, and it doesn't. It's just that I have some ideas where it would be ideal if a majority of the photo was perfectly still and then just one element in the photo was moving.
Yeah.
Kind of like a Flixel photo.
Yeah, exactly. Just like that. Yeah. So I'm gonna play around with that a little bit and see if I can come up with some cool stuff.
Cool. There was a article that was posted in the Facebook group by Mark, and it was Android was getting the option of being able to edit raw images in Snapseed. And we decided to bring this up, even though it's not iPhone, this is a step closer to us getting raw. But did you guys read that article?
I didn't see it.
Oh, okay.
I've been working 12-hour shifts all week, so I've
That's
got some
no
catching up to do.
excuse. I'm just kidding. All right.
Excuses,
Yeah.
excuses.
I'm gonna post it in the chat and for everybody to see. And just take a look.
Greg, I don't work nearly that much, and I still never know what's going on.
I work, but I also can do other things too. But all
That's very eloquently said.
All right. So Google is who owns Snapseed. Snapseed bought it from Nix Software, and so I guess they have been putting their buku billions of dollars or whatever into Snapseed. Well, maybe not, but they are going to add raw image capability for editing to Snapseed, which is cool, but unfortunately it's not there for us right now. And which makes sense because no iPhone has raw capability. There are a few Android devices that can actually take raw images, but even there I'd have to see it to believe it. But I imagine there's a lot of people who shoot with SLRs or mirrorless that have raw that take raw images, and I would love to be able to take my raw images if I shot raw and edit it in Snapseed because it is a awesome app. So, what
Yeah, I
did you
think it should
think?
be noted that they have to be converted to DNG. for this to work on the Android phones.
Oh, yes, that's right.
That's the kind of misleading thing here, is that it's not really a RAW file.
No, it'd be like doing TIFF also.
It's a RAW file, but it's just been kind of transformed into a DNG file, which is a more of a generic RAW file. It's not proprietary like you have in the Canon and the Nikons.
Who came up with DNG?
Adobe.
Okay.
Adobe.
Yeah.
And there, you can get a free DNG converter from them on the internet.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
In fact, that's how, like, let's say, you know, one of the camera manufacturers comes out with a brand new camera, like right now, Adobe, you know, has to get their hands on you know, whatever, all that information or whatever in order to roll out an update to make Lightroom and Photoshop compatible with that file format from the new camera. In the meantime, what you usually can do is convert your files from the brand new camera to DNG and then load those DNGs into Lightroom and Photoshop so that you can edit them until Lightroom and Photoshop come out with support for the new camera.
Yeah. If you guys are listening to this and are not listening live, go to the show notes and open up the link to this article, this Petapixel article, and take a look at the images, because I want to discuss some of the images that they have posted as being like really brilliant. In our weekly photo challenge, we had somebody post an image that was a little bit dark. And Matt, I think you asked if you could edit one of their images. But I'm always amazed on how much detail and information is in a JPEG image. And even a watered-down JPEG image that is on Facebook. And when I look at the images that this article is referencing, I'm like, yeah, but there's really no difference. I mean, I understand they're going to say RAW is better because it has more information, but that's kind of relative to what I believe is even the JPEGs have a lot of information that you can take from them. So is this really going to be something that I need, or is this going to be one of those things that it'll be there, and if I happen to do a RAW, then I'll go ahead and use it? Because I'm thinking to myself, and I know there are special circumstances, but if I'm having to pull the information out of a RAW, that means either, one, I did not know how to use my camera, or two, the lighting was terrible. But even still, a JPEG, you can pull out of a lot of information. What are your thoughts on that?
I still kind of disagree with you on the raw JPEG thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, a JPEG is not like that bad, and you can work with a JPEG and do some pretty amazing things with it. But I think overall, because the RAW file has so much more information, that when you do have to fiddle around with it and really bring out like tons of detail in areas that are like either blown out highlights or blocked up shadows, highlights are kind of lose them. If they're right. Lost, they're lost. But yeah. Shadows, you can really bring a lot of stuff out. But I just think when you're working with something to that extreme, with a RAW file, the edits are going to look a lot cleaner than they will with a JPEG. There'll be less artifacts, and it'll just look a lot better, I think.
Okay.
So, yes, you do need it.
And the thing, too, with RAW is, If you shoot a JPEG and you have your white balance set wrong, like for the wrong conditions, you can change it in RAW to the proper white balance.
That's what they once mean black
it,
and white.
Once
for.
You have it in the JPEG, you're stuck with it. you can play around with the the
color temperature
mm-hmm. and things like that and try to get it back, but you just can't get that the pure change in white balance that you can with RAW.
Dave has a question. Would RAW be more difficult to deal with for those less experienced like me, or should the software make it transparent?
Yeah, the short answer is no, it's not more difficult. I remember when I first started shooting digital back in, well, I was late to the game because I resisted digital uh-huh. for a while. I was like, it's film or nothing. Back in 2006, and my Nikon camera could shoot RAW, but I didn't know what the heck RAW was. I did know what JPEG was, so I shot JPEG. But it's like every time I read a photography magazine, it was always blabbing about RAW, RAW, RAW.
Yeah.
So I finally decided, okay, I'm just going to shoot some RAW files of just something that I don't care about. That way, if I just don't get it, then you know, I didn't lose like some, you know, really awesome pictures. Turns out that as long as you have an editor that can read the RAW format, it really doesn't make any difference as far as like your learning curve for editing. It's, yeah. You know, you can do a little more with a RAW file. So you kind of might play around with it a little bit more than you would a JPEG, but really it's really not any different. It just sounds scarier, but it's really not.
Let me clarify.
There's a few more adjustments. Like, there's a few more adjustments that you can make, but I think Matt's right. It's not that difficult to learn what they do. I mean, take a slider and slide it all the way one way, all the way the other way, and then find what you like in between. That's the best way to learn, I think.
Yeah, let me clarify before we get letters. And if you want to message the show, email us, you can email us at tinyshutter@gmail.com. Mark wanted me to let you know. All right. Before you send the letters, let me explain. I don't do photography as a profession. So, in my opinion, I do not need to shoot RAW. If you're say shooting a wedding or you're doing a commercial project, something that requires a lot more attention to detail. Not to say that people who don't do that aren't paying attention to that, but I would highly recommend that if you are doing this as a profession, if you're doing this for clients, shoot in RAW because you're the more information you have, the better. Now, for myself, I was in the same boat as Matt. When I got my Canon, I was like, all right, this is great. I shot JPEG, and then I kept hearing RAW, RAW, RAW. And so I said, all right, I'll try RAW. And I had to download the Canon RAW converter to my computer, and it, you know, it was great. I had fun playing around with it, but after a while I noticed two things. One was any changes that I did to the image, for the most part, once it went to the editor, those changes were somewhat gone. So if I had shot in black and white thinking, oh, this would be great in black and white, it was no longer black and white, it would be color. And then I'd have to make those changes in the RAW editor. The other thing that I had was I was losing space real quickly with the RAW images. And not only that, whenever I would convert to a JPEG, I was losing that much space. Now, granted, this was a while ago before we had 1 terabyte hard drives, but that was when I made the decision, you know what, I don't need to shoot RAW, and decided to do JPEG strictly. And I said, all right, so when I take this image, either one of two things is going to happen. either I'm going to have, you know, clipped highlights, or there's going to be spaces that are really dark. Am I going to be okay with that? And the answer was yes. And then once we started getting better editing tools, I was able to take out some of the details in the dark places and say, you know what? I'm good with this. I can shoot it a little darker and still get the images that I want. For me personally, I made that decision that I really don't need to do RAW. So, but if it ends up being something that I really, really like doing on my iPhone, I'll do it. But
yeah, like that was a good way to explain it. That basically, a RAW file is basically just like it sounds. It's like the RAW data. It's all the data that the camera could capture, and in essence, you end up with a larger file size as well.
Yes.
And a JPEG is more compressed. It's a smaller file size. And I don't really know about the iPhone, like what the iPhone does. When you pick JPEG, there is basically processing that the camera does to that JPEG. So when you take it off your camera and put it on your computer or whatever, it already has sharpening and possibly some contrast and saturation and stuff applied to it.
Yeah.
So, Joe, you actually had mentioned wedding shooters. There's actually a lot of wedding shooters that do shoot JPEG for specifically that reason. Speed. Because they're able to go into their camera and they can select you know, how much of those different things they want applied to the JPEG and kind of get a look basically for the pictures right in camera, so that when they've shot, you know, 1,000 photos or 2,000 photos for the day, they really don't have very much editing, if any, to do when they're done with that shoot and they load those computers on the computer. The camera did it all for them.
Yeah. And whereas then they just go through and they'll chop out the images they don't want, and then they can turn around and give it right to the client.
Yeah. Whereas if they shot RAW, they would have to edit all those photos.
Yeah.
And granted, they'd probably be able to
batch,
do like a batch edit or something like that. But nevertheless, it's a lot easier just to shoot a JPEG. And I think for most people taking pictures with an iPhone, this really is not going to be something that anyone's going to get excited about, because if you're just taking like snapshots, you know, pictures of your family, stuff like that, then JPEG's going to serve you perfectly fine. You know, it has all these years and it's going to continue to do so. But if you're a little bit more serious about your photography, if you're doing like landscape pictures at sunrise or sunset, or stuff where there's just a huge dynamic range, but you want to get as much detail out of the highlights and shadows as possible, then, you know, RAW is definitely something to explore.
Definitely.
Yeah.
All right.
So it's exciting, and I hope eventually it comes to the iPhone. Now I'm just curious, like right now, can you load a DNG file like into the camera roll? Like, can you sync a folder of pictures to the iPhone that's a bunch of DNGs?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I think if you use something like Dropbox, you might be able to.
Yeah, I got to check it out. I want to see, because that was like one of the first things I thought of is, well, how do you get those pictures on the phone?
Well,
I mean, I suppose if you could have TIFFs on the phone, then I don't see why you can't have DNGs.
Right. Well, the question would be, you could probably get them on there, but the question would be, would you be able to view them? So if there's a specific file type that you can load onto it, but the question is, does it have the software to be able to view that file type? That'd be something we need to look into.
Very cool. Well, we will keep everybody posted on this, as I'm sure that eventually this will come to iPhone, and I'm sure we'll talk about it again.
Yeah.
I've been looking at these photos that are in the post on Petapixel to do with this raw editing, and it looks to me like all they're really doing is making HDRs out of what they had.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I wanted people to go ahead and open it up and look at it, because I can pull it into Snapseed and do the same thing with a JPEG. Sure. But
I still think they're cool, especially the one with the horses. That's pretty impressive.
I love the mountains with the sunset or sunrise, whatever it was. I like that. It caught me. It's been gloomy over here. That was nice and orange. So
yes.
All right, let's go ahead and move into our focus point.
Focus point.
And Greg, guess what? You're our focus point.
Oh, okay.
So I'll let you lead
point,
on this,
point the
Matt.
Focus.
Well, we already I think we already had a chat a little earlier about how you got started in iPhone photography. I was wondering, did you have any other like photo background? Have you been, you know, taking pictures with other types of cameras and stuff?
Yeah, I was into 35mm. About 15 years ago or so, I had a film camera, and then the Canon Rebel came on the market. It was their first DSLR, and I got one of those and just fell in love with the digital side of things, with the ability to process RAWs and basically take control of my photography from right from beginning to end.
Awesome.
And I've been shooting, well, I shoot RAW and JPEG, just because I want to be able to, if I find a good JPEG that I've got right off the bat, I don't want to have to mess with it, you know, kind of to your point, Joe, about being able to just deal with it right away. If I want to post it to Flickr or whatever, then I can post it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a Canon guy. I use Canon camera and lenses.
Okay.
I have a 60D right now.
Ah, yes. That's a good, yeah, that's a good one. I'm still rocking the 30.
Oh, yeah.
It's not
you got, it's what you do with it, right?
Absolutely. You know, it's funny. Whenever the megapixel wars were raging, I bought that 30D, and people were like, oh, you should get a new one. I was like, it works. I mean, it's like once a new camera comes out, it's not like it all of a sudden becomes obsolete. If it breaks, that's one thing. But when I get good images, I can't go to my wife and say, hey, honey, my phone's not, I mean, not my phone, my camera's not really doing it. It's, you know, it's lacking. Whereas it wasn't lacking before, and now all of a sudden it's lacking, it doesn't make any sense. So I have actually put off buying a new camera for the last 5 years.
Well, if you have good lenses, that really extends the life of the camera.
That's true. I don't have good lenses, but that's all right. That requires money too.
Put a Holga lens on and then you'll really appreciate what you have.
Oh yeah, I got one of those.
Is it the plastic one?
I have the plastic Holga lens, and I almost broke it one time because I turned it too far, and I thought I broke it, but then I got it back into place again.
It's probably a little flexible.
Yeah, slightly. That's cool. So what do you like? What do you like shooting?
I'm a big landscape guy, but I'm not afraid to shoot something different, like still life, or I'm not a real fan of shooting people, but if it comes to maybe like street photography, I don't mind doing some of that.
Right.
Not that there's a lot of opportunity for that in this town, because it's a pretty small, it's a city, but it's just kind of a small city. The downtown core is very small.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes there's not too much activity down there for street photography, but I don't mind doing a little bit of sports, the odd hockey game or something. But landscape's definitely my favorite.
That's cool.
Yeah, I've noticed that you're doing a, it looks like a 365 project.
Yes.
Yeah, can you tell us a little bit about that?
A friend of mine challenged me to do this year in black and white. And like an idiot, I said, okay.
Yeah.
Because it does get a little challenging at times. And sometimes I scramble looking for a shot to put on. And, sometimes it's something really mundane. Like yesterday's post was the little solar powered little lights on the top of the posts of our railing on our deck.
Yeah.
But it was in the dark, and I thought, well, that might be interesting. So sometimes I just scramble around looking for something like that. But it's an interesting project, and if somebody ever challenges you to do it, or if you want to give it a try for next year, I encourage you to do it at least once, because it really challenges your creativity. Whether you're using your iPhone or your regular camera, trying to find something to shoot every day for a year, it's a challenge, and sometimes you learn things from it.
And where are you
I did the
posting it?
same thing. I did the same thing in 2012, and I put everything on Instagram for that whole year. And I have a plaque-mounted image where I've put all 366 pictures, because it was a leap year,
Oh, wow, jeez.
and I've plaque-mounted them, and it's on my wall because I thought that was a real challenge, and I wanted something to remember it with. So.
Well, I think the fact that you're doing it in black and white really makes it like a little bit more special.
Yeah, because sometimes I can get a little creative with the editing, whereas a lot of, I would admit, a lot of the time, I just pick one of those three black and white filters in the iPhone and post it. Just because it's, I want to just get it done, and maybe it's late in the day or whatever, but I find some of the, like Snapseed has some pretty good black and white adjustments in it. There's an app called Dramatic Black and White.
Yep, that's my
That,
favorite.
yeah, it's good for black and white stuff.
But I got to tell you, though, VSCOcam has incredible black and white filters.
Well, I just put it in tonight, because when I got my 6S, I've been putting apps in as I remember them or as I need them. I had in my 5S, I had over 270 apps.
Oh, gosh,
That's
A
a
lot
lot.
of them, a lot of them photography related. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to start from scratch this time and just put them in as I need them.
If you need more black and white filters, there's another great app called Analog Film.
Oh, yeah.
That's got a lot of good black and white filters in it.
Okay.
I recommend it. I give it two thumbs up.
I'll have to look that one
Yeah,
up.
I'm giving some serious thought to doing a 365 project this coming year, because I need a good kick in the brain.
Well, that'll do it to you. That'll do it to you. It's refreshing when you start, because you think, oh, this is great. You just look for stuff to take a picture of. And then by midway through the year, you probably will get a little discouraged, but just fight through it. Just trot on. And when you finish it, that's where it feels so good to know that you've done it.
Yeah, I want to be in that exclusive club, so.
Yeah, well, I'll be a two-time member after this year if I can keep going, which I should be able to.
That's impressive.
So
That's impressive.
where
To
can
do
they
that and not hate photography afterwards is impressive.
Yeah, exactly. So where can they see your project?
Actually, let me just look here on Flickr. I think I have an album that I did. Yes, there's an album on my Flickr. It's called 2012. It has all 366 photos. Are you talking the one I did before or the one I'm doing now? Because
Both.
the one I'm doing now, I'm just posting on my Facebook.
Okay.
I have an album on Facebook called 2015 in monochrome.
Is it public or is it private?
It's private. I should disclose something to the listeners. especially those who are in the Facebook group, you'll notice that I've never liked anything. And it's because I have a real issue with the Facebook like button. So, I mean, don't be offended if I don't like something, because I like everything that people post. I really do. I just have a real problem with Facebook's like button and what they do with your
Information.
information when
Got
you
it.
click it. So, I mean, that's just just me. It's just a little quirk about me, but
We'll hold it against you. Don't worry.
oh, okay. But I love I love seeing what everybody puts on Facebook, you know, especially the photography. It's all great.
Well, Greg,
So I do keep my Facebook locked down.
got it.
I like enough things to make up for your lack of liking.
Yeah, okay.
I am just
That's good. I appreciate that.
What's
not a
your what
problem.
what's your Flickr account?
It's Greg S. McMillan. I'm putting the link in the chat room here to that album, the 2012 album.
Okay, cool.
And they're in chronological order, so it starts at day one and goes right to the very end.
And I'll have that in the show notes for people to look at.
Do you have two Flickr accounts, Greg?
No.
Oh, I don't see an S in there.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, sorry, that's my Twitter account. I get confused. It's just Greg McMillan.
Hey, you have your Flickr stream is outstanding.
Well, thank you.
It is fantastic. There's many, many good great images in there.
I usually just try to put my best on there.
That is kind of where I'm at with Flickr also, so it's been sparse lately.
Yeah. I just dump all of my images, you know, edits and everything onto Flickr. No, I'm just kidding. I don't.
Greg, I had one other thing I wanted to ask you about your iPhone photography, and I've noticed, like, especially in our Facebook group and everything, you've been posting. Wow, I don't know what just happened to my voice. It's going crazy here. You've been posting a lot of like tests, you know, where you pit apps against each other and stuff like that. What kind of got you into doing that sort of thing? Was it just your own curiosity, or just trying to give people information, or a little of column A and column B, or?
Yeah, I think a little bit of both. I'm a real technology junkie, and when I got my 4S, I had a from my Canon camera at the time. It was a Rebel XTi, and I didn't have any real good lenses or anything at the time. And I was doing about this time of year, I was out on a river, and I took some long exposure shots of the water. And I did it with the iPhone, with slow shutter. And I thought, okay, I'm going to try to snap the exact same shot with both of these as close to each other as I can. So I did it, and I posted it. This was about 3 years ago. I posted it on Facebook, and I asked people, can you tell which one was shot with which? And at that time, there were people who got them confused
That's awesome.
with my recent post. I mean, and I'll full disclosure, I screwed around with the pictures to try to get them to look the same, color-wise, you know, exposure, everything else. And I did the same thing recently with those ones that I put in the group. And I think everybody seemed to get the right answer, though, this time. Which, I mean, but I'm using a better camera, a little better lens with my DSLR. So I think it's arguable that. I mean, it's undeniable that it's going to be a better picture than the iPhone was, so.
Yeah, that was a fun and pretty interesting test, though. To you definitely turned us all into pixel peepers.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah, that was good stuff. Well, I got to tell you, I always like want to do that level of like testing and analyzing stuff, and then, you know, post it on our Facebook page or the group or whatever, but I just never really seem to Every time I do it, I kind of, excuse my language, I kind of half-ass it. And I don't do the full test like you do. So, like, I guess what I'm trying to say is I appreciate the work that you put into it. I'm really happy that you're, you know, posting that kind of stuff to our group because it's really informative and you're filling the void that I'm creating.
Well, I appreciate it. One thing that I do want to do, and I think you guys might already know about this one, is I want to do a kind of like a comparison review of Camera Plus and Pro Camera. Because I think they're both very good camera apps for the iPhone.
Mm.
My favorite is, and I think it's no secret, is Pro Camera.
Yeah.
I just really like the user interface. I'm really liking the pictures I'm getting out of it. I like the editing that it has in it. With Camera Plus, you know, I found it always heats up my phone. I don't know if it's really taxing on the processor or what, but with Camera Plus, it always heated up my phone.
Huh.
Whereas Pro Camera never did that.
Yeah, I'll have to try to take notice to that. I haven't really noticed that, but I've been using both apps a lot lately. But, man, I feel bad for Pro Camera. I really have just been using them for their macro function lately.
Oh, Camera
Plus. You mean Camera Plus.
I'm sorry, yes, Camera Plus.
Yeah.
And then Pro Camera, I have been using a lot lately, mostly because I wanted to use the HDR function since Vivid HDR wasn't working. But even though Vivid HDR had their update today and it's stupendous and I'm sure I'm going to use it, I really, really, really liked how easy it is to switch between like normal shooting mode and HDR mode in Pro Camera. It's just like boom, one button and you switched modes. It's like so easy. So that is a great app. So it'll be interesting to see that test.
And here's a little tip for anybody that's listening that has either one of these camera apps is on the iPhone, you could pull down on the home screen to get your notifications.
Yep.
And on there's the today side of it. You got your notifications and you have today. So if you choose the today screen, there's a widget for both of those cameras that you could put in your today screen and you can go on the Pro Camera, you can pick any of the modes, movie, regular picture, HDR, night, or scan a barcode. And it even gives you the sunrise and sunset times. And then for Camera Plus, it has a little more information. It has, there's a quote of the, I guess it's a quote of the day. You can go straight to a photo, selfie, straight to a macro shot,
yep.
Or go to the light box in the app if you save your photos in the light box for editing.
I just went to the macro.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a nice little shortcut.
Yeah, that the force touch or 3D touch rather shortcuts are really cool.
Yeah, I really like
quit
those.
Bragging.
You'll be able to brag next year, Joe.
That's right.
About something better.
Yeah, you'll have some crazy feature next year that it'll be like hologram shooting.
Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're our only hope.
Yes.
Yeah, it'll be live hologram photos.
Yeah. Yeah. with audio.
With audio, yeah.
So I got one question for you before we go to our weekly photo challenge. Okay. Red Door Photos.
Yes.
Did you come up with this as a username or is there a reason why you like Red Door, the reference to Red Doors?
Okay. On Boxing Day of 2006, this is how it all started. There's a church in town. And we had no snow. We had a green Christmas, which is not that common for here. And I thought, okay, I'm going to go for a walk. I have my Rebel XTI at the time. And I went for a walk down by this church. And it's a big, beautiful... The architecture of this building is just amazing. I can shoot it for hours. But I look from the street and I look back at this little building off to the side, and there was this red door under a light.
Yeah.
So I stopped and I put up my tripod and I started snapping pictures of it, and I developed it and I shot it in RAW, so I was able to play around with it. And it just seemed to be my signature image. And I actually, I won a prize in a photography contest with it. It was from a group of camera clubs who used to have this like a regional competition, and it won the historical category.
Oh, nice.
So it's my avatar on Instagram, and it's in my Instagram feed as well.
Yep.
It's probably on Flickr too somewhere.
I just like
and
it.
And so I thought, well, if I ever branded myself, not that I'm a professional, because I'm not, I mean, I don't make any money doing photography, but if I ever branded myself, I would call myself Red Door Photos.
Cool.
And I just kind of like it. So it kind of stuck.
Nice. Well, that's cool. I like that.
And I'm a sucker for red doors. I just like red doors.
Well, red has an amazing way of being able to capture your attention. So I can see why.
Yeah. Yeah. They seem to stand out. I mean, you look at any landscape photo with a person in it, they've got a red jacket on it or a red sweater because it just seems to stand out.
Yeah. Very cool. All right. Well, let's go ahead. Unless, Matt, you have another question, but
no, I think we should move on.
All right. Let's go ahead and start talking about our weekly photo challenge. So, Greg, real quick, what do you think of the weekly photo challenge? Since you are a listener.
Yeah, I love it. I think it's great.
Cool.
I think it gets people out there to shoot, and sometimes when there's a challenge or there's an assignment, people have been known to dig into their archives to post things. But I think it's better than I think it's better that people actually get out and shoot to the theme or to the whatever the assignment is and give us some fresh stuff.
I'm gonna say this and I'm gonna get a lot of heckles for it, but you know, that's the reason why I have a 16 gigabyte iPhone. I'm just kidding. No, I can't keep very many images for long periods of time on my phone. I'm always taking them off. So it forces me to go out and actually get an image without trying to dig into something that I may have already shot. But I like the idea of being able to go out and do it because it does force me to think and to be more creative.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great idea. I'm really liking, not that I hit the like button, but I'm really liking what I see in the group. We've got a fantastic community going there, and I just like to see it keep growing.
Yes. If you guys have not joined the Facebook group, you're missing out. Just go on there. Don't be afraid to post anything. We have all sorts of people that are really good, and then you got people like me. And so don't feel like you have to have an amazing photo or something like that, because we are our worst critics when it comes to our images. A lot of people will go on there and they'll say, that is amazing. And I'm like, well, that was okay. You know? So if the reason why you haven't joined our Facebook group or posted anything in the Facebook group is because you're afraid of what people may think, please don't. Come in, add your images, ask questions. You'll learn a lot of things. People are asking questions. Other people are answering them. We don't have all the answers, but as a combined group,
but Greg does.
Yeah, that's right. Greg
does.
Oh,
now come on. I don't know about that.
So, all right. So this last week's weekly photo challenge was leaves, and we had 44 submissions, and they were awesome. Let me read the names of the people who submitted. Jaylen Stapleton did a few. David DeFries, Mark, Matt, myself, Ruth Podner, Greg McMillan has quite a few in there. Dave Podner, Nigel O'Connell, David Steinberg, Sharon Jobert. Let's see here. Fred Zelders, Mark Ball. Let's see here. Jill Loomis, Robert Yockey, Jason Griffiths, Jackie Simon, Pete Donovan, Roma Robbins. Let's see here. Anybody else? Dennis Ullman, Craig Engman. Antonio Ferreira, Edith Meyer, Jeff Simpson, Brian Morrow, and lastly, Frank, I want to say Tagg, T-A-G-G-E. I'm sorry if I didn't say it correctly. Awesome, awesome images. I have to say I was truly inspired by the images that were posted in there. We did have one, one in the Instagram. Let me pull that up real quick. We had one person put four images in there. That was, okay. Tiny Shutter Leaves was Geek 1956, and I'm sorry, Geek 1956, I forgot what your first name was, but if you go on Instagram, you can find that by going to Tiny Shutter Leaves and seeing those images there. So, Matt, what did you think? What were your impressions of our challenge?
Well, first of all, they were stupendous. I really liked, well, this obviously was the appropriate time of year to do this challenge.
Yes.
apparently, most of our listeners live in areas where the fall foliage is just out of control. So we had a lot of different types of photos, from like grand landscapes to, you know, really intimate close-up pictures of leaves. It really kind of ran the gamut, just all, and then even some more stuff that, while it wasn't really abstract, it was just really more like, it was just different from the rest of it, like Dave Podner's image from the leaf lights at IKEA.
Yeah, I thought that was cool.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. There was a lot of really great pictures. David DeFries had a great like backlit picture of just a part of a tree, and I just really liked the way the leaves looked like they were glowing. Yes. In that picture. So that one was pretty cool. That was one of my favorites, I think. And Denise Ullman had a really awesome like still life type picture that was like a pumpkin with some acorns and some leaves. Yes. And stuff. That one definitely stood out. And even though I'm not picking this week for the post pick of the week, I think my favorite picture out of all of them was posted by Craig Engman. And that was a picture where you're basically looking up. You're looking up the tree trunk, basically, and the tree trunk's kind of at the top of the picture, but the, I don't know, the lines in it and the colors are just really awesome, and that was my favorite picture.
I have to say, I'm looking at it, I'm getting dizzy. No, that's real. I'm sorry, Denise, if I said your name wrong. I think I said Dennis, but it was Denise. Yeah, sorry. All right. Well, cool. Okay. So before we pick the post pick of the week, let's come up with this next week's challenge. And we had asked the chat channel to give us some suggestions, and I put it out there on the Facebook page too. But what were some of the things that were mentioned? I think Dave mentioned reflections and what was it? Shadows and reflections, or just reflections and what?
Yeah, reflections were mentioned. I think we talked about toy camera, like the toy camera effect. Yes. Or like LOMO effect.
I think somebody said transportation.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
Jeff Simpson said transportation. That's a good one.
Oh, he's not in the chat. Oh, bummer. Yeah, he was there earlier.
Yeah, he had to go take some selfies. He's okay.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of like the reflections or shadows, but I think it should be one of those things.
Okay. So, yeah, Dave said shadows or reflections is either or. So let's do reflections.
Reflections it is.
All right. Done. So I will post in the Facebook page once I get the audio up. Our next weekly photo challenge. And what we've done was we do one post, and in the comments everybody puts the images in that post. It helps us be able to find all the images, because once if you don't know how Facebook works, which I think most people do, you can put in a post, but then it gets lost with all the different things that are going on. So putting it in the comments has actually been really helpful, because we find some great images. All you have to do is look for the post. Once you find it, you can see all the beautiful submissions. I'm going to have to see if I can actually take the link and put it in the show notes for that post, and see if people can see it, if there's no public or private issues. But I highly recommend going on to Facebook and joining the group and seeing these wonderful submissions. So, all right. So now,
Joe,
yes, sir.
Joe, quickly here. Can you pin that post to the top of the feed?
You know what?
I know with pages you can, but I don't know about groups.
Well, actually, I think this is a page. Let me see if I have the option of doing that real quick. Yep, pinned to top. All right, it's pinned. I will do that with the next one. That way people can find it easily.
Cool. And
sweet. I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah. All right. The suspense is killing me.
All right, so... we've decided that out of our submissions that for the weekly photo challenge, that we would pick a post pick of the week, and that would be used as our album art. It also highlights the episode where we pick a quote unquote winner. Dave's getting tingly. And as tradition holds, our guest is the person who picks the post pick of the week. So I'm going to turn it over to Greg and have him say who it is and describe the image.
Okay. this was a tough one. There were a lot of good submissions, as we already mentioned. And the one that I've chosen was, oddly enough, I think it was the second last one by Brian Morrow. And he took it with an iPhone 6, and he used, or the 6 Plus, I guess, he used Touch, Retouch, and Snapseed, and ViscoCam in his editing.
Yes.
And it's a picture of The bottom third is all leaves on the ground, and it looked like he got it from a really low angle. And in the right, going from the center up is a maple that looks like it's lost about 70% of its leaves, and then there's a few other trees in the image. But I think it just really encompasses the whole essence of the theme of leaves.
Yes, this is an awesome image. I think he lives, I think, in Charlotte, and we're acquaintances. We have some friends, mutual friends, and so I'm going to assume that this was taken in the Charlotte area. So it's a beautiful image. It looks like the sunlight's coming through the trees, and they're still green on a lot of the trees around it. But yeah, this is beautiful.
Yeah, I really liked it. As soon as I saw it, I thought, okay, that's got to be it.
What'd you think, Matt?
Yeah, it's definitely a killer photo. And now that I look at the apps he used, I'm trying to figure out where he used the Touch Retouch app in this. I can't like pinpoint the spot, which kind of is a testament to how awesome that app is. But I'm just curious what he needed to use that app for.
What does that app do, Mark? I'm not familiar with it.
It removes...
not Mark, Matt, sorry.
It's okay.
I do that all the time.
I have a brother named Mark, so it's all good.
Oh, there you go.
It removes stuff. You know, if you have something you need to delete out of an image.
Oh, okay.
Does it do like a content fill?
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome.
That's what it is, content aware fill. And it works really well.
I'm willing to bet that there was something maybe in the foreground.
Oh, that possibly.
He must have taken out.
It was probably the interstate. No, I'm just kidding. Very cool. Well, congratulations, Brian, and you will be our post pick of the week. And like I said, we post the image to our episode feed, so that you know, all you have to do is go to tinyshutter.com, look for episode 137, and you will see that beautiful image displayed for everyone to see. So congratulations, and good job, Greg, for picking an awesome image.
Well, thanks.
All right. Well, is there anything else that anyone wants to bring up? Because I think we're at that time.
Yes, we are at that time.
Well, thank you, Greg, for coming on the show and just giving us insights into your photography and what you've been doing. Is there a good place for somebody to see your work?
A good landing spot to find anything online that I have is about.me/McMillan.
Ooh, let me type.
There's links on there to everything, Twitter, Facebook, my website. I have actually two websites, and anything that I have online would be there.
So about.me/McMillan?
Yep.
Awesome. Very cool. Matt, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
You can check me out on Instagram, IM, and Twitter at mhoffmanphoto.
Mm-hmm. All right. Oh, wait. Oops.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
I forgot to play that. Oh, my gosh. What was I thinking? And you can find me on Instagram at Joseph Ferreira. You can find the show notes, anything that we talk about would be in the show notes. And you can find links to our YouTube page, our Facebook page, or anything else by going to tinyshutter.com. And we are in the works of bringing some more content. Mark is busy using his brain, and we're going to start doing some more things on the website. I know we've been talking about it, but lately things have really started to ramp up. So be ready to see some cool things. And so, yeah, go to tinyshutter.com. All right. Well, I appreciate everybody being here. It's a good show, Matt. Thanks for coming on, Greg.
And thanks for having me. It was a blast. Yeah.
Thank you, Greg.
Yeah.
Well, anytime.
Good deal. All right. Well, we will see you guys next week.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.
Everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
That one's my favorite.
I still can't believe that that's Han Solo. It does not sound like him at all.
I know. It doesn't.